Broadcasting from the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 117.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting, action-packed episode of Level 117. I'm Dan Handley. Around the table with me are Curtis Smith.
Howdy.
My aides.
Good evening.
Chris Pryor.
Hi there.
And Tim Harvey.
Action-packed?
See, that was my question.
Hey,
there's tons of action going on. You just can't see it because this is audio.
If you didn't realize, we do have coffee. We did get coffee.
But I've met us. We're more like in-action figures.
How about if we add an awesome soundtrack to it?
We'll have to ask Jason about that. If you wonder where Jason Hunt is, he is in the room, but working in the controls, taking the night off. Speaking with the rest of us, tonight we're talking about the latest episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the episode A Wanted Inhuman. Mm-hmm. If you want to join the conversation with us, you can leave us messages, email at level117@sci-fi4me.com, or you can call us on our hotline at 573-42-SCI-FI. So, A Wanted Inhuman.
Let's talk about that. It's an awkward title.
Very.
Because it's in parentheses, right?
It's a wanted man with inhuman in parentheses.
Right, which should really be, because aren't parentheses like an aside? Like, a wanted inhuman.
Yes,
they're taking advice from the rebuild of Evangelion.
I don't get that reference at all.
Well, if you got to take advice from somebody, you might as well, you know.
But it was hilarious.
I don't get it, but it's funny.
Remember, he who laughs last didn't get the joke.
Yes.
There it is.
There we go.
Absolutely.
Well, okay, yeah. I just wanted to point that out. What a dumb name for a TV episode, really. It's not great. They could have done better.
Well, it's kind of odd, but it is appropriate.
Yeah.
All the punny titles they do for every episode.
Well, because it's Joss Whedon. Of course it's going to be puns.
Thank you for reminding me. Never mind. That totally makes sense, and I enjoy it a lot more now.
Well, what better title for when you got two agencies going after one guy, going after Lincoln?
But it was also about Gemma too. Could have been Geminations.
Okay, you realize you are not actually avoiding puns.
I know. Now I'm just helping out. Just helping. That's all.
I'm not sure that's helping.
It's not a help.
Stop helping.
So, once again, another organization and no love between them and S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the googly eyes we're getting between our two agency heads here is
well,
I mean,
you think there's, you think, really?
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm telling you, she's wondering what sort of attachments he can have on that wrist.
Yeah, well, and he was eyeing her car.
Well, but that's the car.
Yeah, but.
But some guys are just car guys.
Two episodes they're hooking up, and it'll be like, don't tell Sky or Daisy.
Daisy.
If you can't have May and Coulson, then you might as well get the woman who is eventually going to be the head of S.W.O.R.D.
We assume.
Well, if they don't change the agency's name to something cool like S.W.O.R.D. sometime before the season is over, they are missing an incredible opportunity, which they actually also missed tonight, as far as I can tell, because Coulson, there were things that he should have seen coming that we've seen him see coming before.
That even when we were watching it, we thought he was.
Yeah.
We thought he was in on it or knew what was coming, and then apparently he didn't, and that was disappointing.
It's like, well, wait a minute. If we can think of this and we're sitting at home watching, then surely the actual spy guy can, you know.
I've never seen Coulson crumble so quick in this. In this episode, he was like, we've got a picture. Oh, well, then whatever you want then.
He did raise the point that, you know, he's tired of fighting, and so basically he's inside with them now. I mean, there's, you know, he has some control here.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's really smart of him to. I think that was his whole plan, right?
Well, but it doesn't. It didn't play out quite that way until the end. I mean, it felt. It didn't feel like he was controlling the situation as much as we kind of expected him to. I guess. I mean,
that's, well, we're used to seeing him.
Yeah. I mean, because we're used to him being.
Unless he's a bit distracted by for some reason.
Well, I'm telling you, he liked the car. and the cut of her jacket.
But a car could do that to some guys.
Kind of makes sense that he's not totally on top of the situation. He was saying at the very beginning that this whole Inhumans thing is moving faster than either of these organizations was expecting, that he didn't expect this, I didn't expect this, I didn't expect this. He opens the episode basically saying, I didn't expect any of this. I'm in over my head.
Yeah.
Well, but what I guess one of the things that really was bugging me the more the episode went on is the sense that in a world where we've had all the things happen in the Marvel movies, the overreaction that we're getting here, it's alien threat! Find this man. He's an alien threat!
That's not happened before.
Well, it's very much the witch hunt kind of mentality, and this is, I don't know, it just,
But Coulson did call her out on that.
Yeah, I know, but it's the kind of thing where when you're doing, you don't want to panic the populace. I mean, it's just a bad idea anytime. I mean, causing panic is always the worst way to control people.
Mm-hmm.
People don't react well when they're panicked.
No, and they get in the way when you're trying to find people, But I don't know. I mean, it's not like a,
I guess it depends on your particular goals, but
it's not a first half of the first season story issue, mm-hmm.
We don't need the chaos yet.
But it's
something they should build to.
Well, yeah, it's a little surprise for it. But I mean, it's not like a, what are you doing? Why are you ruining the show? I just find that
Oh my god, I spilled my coffee.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid we're broken. Curtis has spilled his coffee.
Spilled coffee.
And it was totally the classic, what time is it?
Curtis, I've been meaning to talk to you about your drinking problem. And, it's coffee, man. What's wrong with you?
We've all written letters about how this has affected us. I'd like to read mine.
This is our intervention.
when you're drinking coffee, I feel scared. You say things that you wouldn't when you're not drinking coffee.
Okay.
Well, it's possible that we've all been safe from that tonight since he spilled his coffee.
We have to digress at least once an episode, right?
You guys don't understand. It's just for fun.
You can stop anytime.
The coffee or the saying things that scare us.
I don't need to stop. There's no. I mean.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that's
alcoholism is funny now?
Oh,
alcohol.
We're talking coffee.
This is caffeine, man. This is a real drug. So we are digressing pretty seriously. So, but it's coffee.
Yeah, but basically you're saying that we're kind of jumping the gun on the whole...
Well, okay. We had so many problems with the slow burn in the first season, right?
So
I completely get that if you just tear through this and get to the fun part where you've got the agencies kind of colliding and the personality clashes and all the fun things that I'm sure are coming up. But at the same time, it does feel kind of like, why would there's no there just doesn't seem like a good reason for the government to sit there and go, hi there, we'd like you to panic.
Yeah.
we'd like you to do, the entire public to sit there and go, wah! It just seems like a really bad plan.
And take on a dangerous person, somebody that you think is dangerous. Oh, everybody, come on, let's go get him.
Well, the thing is, what you got to think about, this may be a, so we've got the TV and the movies are now separate entities kind of, but much like you mentioned the first season, the slow build because they were building up to,
Winter Soldier. Yeah.
Now, the thing is this season building up to the Civil War? Is this part of the plan? You get people panicked, then they start saying, okay, we want the registration.
I think that makes total sense, really. I mean, it's a systematic chipping away at people's sense of liberty. It's this. It's kind of... I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say what it's kind of like that happened a while back.
Well, it happens all the time. Yeah. That's the problem. And this, what if this is that kind of thing? You get the people panicked. Hey, we've got an idea. We can step in and save the day with a program that registers these people.
Well, and it's I think it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with Civil War, because the... If you look long and hard at what's actually in the comic, the argument falls apart because it's coming from the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be very interested to see how this actually plays out in the movie. My concern with something like that, of course, is we run into the same problem we had the last couple of seasons, which is we're so tied into the movie coming out that the TV show's story gets sidelined or becomes a... We've got this big secret Coulson. There's a secret Coulson sneaking around the entire world doing the thing.
And we can't talk about it.
And then he got a flying thing, and the secret's out because he got the flying thing for Nick Fury.
And nobody gives up flying.
Exactly. Yeah, it's
and it just became an excuse of why the flying thing shows up.
So, but you know, I mean, the whole thing's very, very interesting considering that the Inhumans are supposed to, you know, this is part of the bigger thing that's going to build up to the Inhumans movie, which is pushed back again.
Mm-hmm. Third episode just seems really early to be starting to lay that.
Yeah.
That kind of groundwork. I mean, that much groundwork that you're.
Well, it depends on what else they need to bring in during the season.
Well, right. But they're already alarming the public and getting everybody worked up and in a semi-state of panic and looking out for Inhumans, or aliens as they're calling in the news bulletins.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's only the third episode. I wasn't here last week to talk about this, but I was surprised that they brought Gemma back so soon. I thought that was going to play out longer.
I did too. I thought they were going to tease us with that for weeks.
Keep in mind also that, you know, it's a 22-episode season, but we have a winter break. We have a first half and a second half. What if we've got two completely separate arcs?
Well, that's very possible, but I really thought the Gemma arc was going to last longer.
I wasn't...
Gemma arc's nowhere near done.
I guess we're not done with it, but obviously not based on the end of the episode, but I was
just
still surprised.
Part of the arc.
Yeah, I was still surprised that they brought her back that soon, and within the second episode. I mean... Mm-hmm.
I think she became queen of the Chitauri or whatever. That's why she's so itchy to go back.
I'm still holding on to the possibility that she'll end up being Squirrel Girl.
I love that idea so much.
She's going back because she saw other people and she wants to rescue them.
Or you know, now that she's back, she's got that scientific curiosity that left her when the fear kicked in, and she knew something's there and wants to know what it is. You know, I don't know. That might clash with her PTSD.
Yeah.
But just as a possibility, you know, she's still got her scientific curiosity about her, and she said that. Her curiosity disappeared, you know, when the fear set in.
Right. As it would with anybody.
Exactly.
Although I probably don't have the level of curiosity that she does. I'm not curious anymore.
Yeah. But she might be, now something's burning at her and she needs to figure out what.
Yeah.
That's a possibility, just throwing that out there.
Well, she should make out with Fitz first. They should probably get that done.
Well, they were holding hands, but not quite, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I think that relationship is going to happen. I think
it's the Sam and Diane thing.
No. It's not gonna be played out that long.
They can get together, but the problem is that we're not going to let them get together in a normal way. So in last season, it was because he was broken. This season, it's going to be because she's broken. And whatever she has to get back to, because there's something.
Yeah. Well, once she gets that worked out, the playing field will be level, and they can knock
it out. So you think.
But what it is, she...
I'm sure you've already written a script for that particular scene.
Actually, I've got a 3-novel fan series. That's just those
blocked
guys.
Out in your head.
Oh, it's crossover between that and Next Gen, but
you know what? We haven't announced as spoilers.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There are spoilers on the show, ladies and gentlemen, just so we might want to let you know
if,
that.
If, yeah, if they're listening to us.
Then they haven't watched the show. You're stupid.
Dude, yeah, if you're,
you go back and watch it.
If you haven't seen the show and you're listening to this, you don't know how to watch television.
Television. Do you're
that
doing
first,
it wrong.
Then listen to us.
All right. Maybe Gemma's PTSD is actually withdrawals, and it's like a drug, and she's going back. Don't do drugs, kids. This is an anti-drug message from...
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing.
You guys were talking about her pointy stick. I wasn't sure that was a stick that she was holding when she sat up from her nightmare.
Was she wielding...
You guys are looking...
Was she wielding the wand?
It was a magic
more
wand.
More metal to me than a stick.
I think she basically had fashioned herself a weapon. So she's protecting herself from something, and she's scared of something. And it's looking at what she's reacting to. She's reacting to noise. Reacting to light. And some of that, of course, I like the fact that they basically lead off with them saying her body has adjusted to a different environment, and she's not bouncing back right away because we do that.
She said she was adjusting from lower gravity.
Less gravity here.
Right. So it's whatever, you know, it's clearly I think she knows what she was running from. I think she knows what she, because I said that, you know.
She won't talk about it yet.
Right. But I'm pretty, I suspect that she really does know exactly what she was running from.
I think so, too. But I also think that that's not why she's wanting to go back. I really think she saw other people there that have gone through that
portal
before.
I'll bet she stumbled across Castle Grayskull.
She's going back for Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck is currently... He just got out of the collector's
cage.
Okay.
That was a movie or so ago. I mean, come on now. Actually,
he could have changed locations.
The Howard the Duck Squirrel Girl series right now is getting a lot of praise. So that we can have her turn into Squirrel Girl and bring in Howard the Duck. And
I don't know about that.
Don't worry, George Lucas is not involved with this.
Yeah, they bring out the old little costume from the 80s movie.
Maya, could you make that noise again? So I'm going to lean on my subwoofer later.
Oh dear.
Let's see how Mai goes against Quack Fu.
Oh, boy.
So on the flip side of that, while we're having all this stuff going on over here, we've also got
Hunter and
May trying to infiltrate work their way up through the Hydra, resurgent Hydra,
not realizing that
Ward is in charge.
No, yes, I do.
No, they don't.
You don't think so?
No.
They do not know that Ward is in charge.
How can they not?
Because they said
that he would be building up Hydra.
In Hydra, not that he's in charge of Hydra. Why would they think he's in charge of Hydra?
Why would they
because
think that Hydra is still
around? Because
they know
that others died.
Because Hydra is...
Hydra's cut off the heads and more come up.
But like their first thing is going to think that Ward is going to take over all of Hydra?
Well, Hunter definitely seems to be under the impression that whatever cell he's getting into, Ward is at the top.
Well, Ward is like one person above him. So it's like the end of the episode, they drag him up to the guy who was working directly underneath Ward.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like...
Yeah.
And he says, I look forward to meeting your boss.
Right, and except that Ward knows who Hunter is. So this is going to be a really short meeting. It's going to be... It's like, oh, hi, Hunter. Bang. You know, which again, as much as I love a good narrative delay, at some point we will have a strike team that shows up in one of these shows that shoots the person they're trying to capture instead of waiting for them to do something. It's like, wait. Oh, he got away. Well, you didn't shoot him. Why didn't you shoot him? Don't you have the guns?
He doesn't. He doesn't shoot S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore because he lets everyone go.
No,
so
he's talking about the long acronym other government agency that
they're very impressive. They show up and wave their guns
and then
around.
Stand around.
This
wear,
is episode so. 3, and it's so convoluted already.
Curtis, I think you need more coffee.
Well, I spilled mine.
On the other hand, May, fight scene.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was rad.
On point.
I was disappointed.
I particularly liked the ending.
That woman is 73 years old.
No. No.
No.
Ish.
No.
53? 53 years old. Uh-huh. Yeah,
she's
now
gonna
say no.
Shoot.
Yeah.
She's going to come after your head.
But
I will never get her on the show.
I know.
Her stunt double.
Thanks a lot, Curtis.
Edit,
way to
edit,
break
edit,
you know,
her agent's not listening. We can talk her into it. But her, you know, her stunt double is 73 years old.
Well, now we're never going to get her on the show either.
Thanks a lot, Curtis. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed because they gave her a perfect opportunity to say, you know, that you're going to have a great time or whatever it is that he said to her. I promise you'll have a good time. And she didn't say, you're right, I had a
great time. That's like, what I thought she was going to say, actually.
Please say it. Please say it. Oh, she didn't say it.
Say it, now.
So. Yeah. Of course. Hunter and his whole bloody storyline and that bloody fight and that bloody fight club.
Okay, that is
gruesome.
Not it's okay. The was it? We were what, 6 or 7 episodes in when we got our big our throat slitting scene or whatever it was where it was at the centipede base and one of the first people
got
killed. Remember
you got
the,
yeah, they got like fried or
yeah,
something.
They got burned to death. And we were kind of going
whoa.
We weren't expecting, you know, that level of gore in the first season. I wasn't. When was the last time we saw this much blood? I mean, that's it was a fight scene that looked like a fight scene.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it looked like people hurting
gruesome.
Each other.
Yeah.
So.
But wasn't their plan contingent on that guy that Hunter?
They just needed to get to the door. He was kind of the way to get him into the location that they.
Good
could.
Thing they didn't need him alive.
And strangely,
I could put in the good word for you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those guys, I swear to God.
And you do realize the scene when they had to have the subtitles.
Except they were completely understandable.
Yeah.
And I would compliment the makeup job, but I think they were method actors.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I'm certain they weren't.
Yeah. But nonetheless.
That's not a contract you'd want. Okay, I'm going to give this to you, and we'll be paying your next of kin.
Well, it depends on what your goals are.
I want
right before that scene, they're both just posturing. Don't hold back, mate. Well, let's hit each other. Come on, don't do that.
But wait a minute. Them getting past the door, were they actually trying to get to Ward, or were they trying to get? I thought they were trying to get a hold of weapons to go after them.
Well, they were saying that they had weapons to sell.
Oh, okay.
And so
that's
they
right.
basically, yeah. So they were basically saying they were like, we're going to be the arms dealers.
Because he was an arms dealer, the other British bloke, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what that subtitled story was
the
about. Them dealing arms. So we'd know that too, which I thought was lovely and heavy-handed and fun.
In a bar, let's all talk about the illegal things that we've done and will do and want to do, and yeah.
And somehow screwed up getting laid while doing it.
Well, you know, there is a very long tradition of people talking in hushed tones in public places, saying things that nobody ever talks about in hushed tones in public places.
Except they weren't hushed.
Stupid.
They were drunk and flailing about
and
loud.
And we had to have subtitles.
there are plenty of TV shows where people sit there and go, all right. I'm going to stand up make a distraction. And you realize that everyone around them can hear them say, all right, I'm going to stand up and make a distraction. Yeah.
So it's almost like that commercial with those referees.
Yeah.
All right, what happened? I don't know. All right, you do this hand bobbling thing, and well, your mic's on. First down.
Oops.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's I'm enjoying this season so far. I mean, even with the quibbles here, I mean, because it's kind of like, well, they've earned it, with the character stuff. I mean, it's the characters have actually earned the wiggle room here for our respect. Story stuff,
so that we will give them some time to develop.
And I'm really enjoying seeing the dynamic between Hunter and May as they're working together.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
That's That makes for an interesting duo.
Yeah, not your most likely pair to work together.
But I love that Hunter had to kill that man, and he did it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't show him doing it, but we know he did it because he got to the boss level.
He's not breathing. He's not breathing.
Yes, and unfortunately, like I said, his boss level is going to take him right into somebody who knows exactly who he is and wants him dead. So this could be a very, very short
story arc. It's
like, well.
Except you've got the kid in school with May's husband.
Except we have a spinoff coming off with Bobby and Hunter. So
maybe Hunter.
Yeah. Well, we were going to use Hunter, but unfortunately.
Well, the thing is that going and looking for Ward may just be a short story arc within the bigger picture.
Oh yeah, but I mean,
they've been cutting to the chase on a few other things. So
that's true.
What if Hunter just sees him, kills him, done with it? Wouldn't that be
would
tidy?
Be, that would be.
And then Von Strucker,
bang,
Stryker,
and then two more heads grow in his place.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that, we'll get some more coffee, I think. Good time to do that. And
except for Curtis,
we're not sure if he can hold his coffee very well. But
I'm wearing a diaper.
And on that note,
we'll go ahead and take our break, and we'll be right back.
Podcasting is our superpower. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon, or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton, shirts and art for fans by fans.
All right, you all listening to Level 117, you are no doubt true believers of some stripe, as are we, and some of you are probably even fans of the Distinguished Competition. So, now that the first wave of DC Comics television shows are on the air, it's time to talk about them. Our new DC TV podcast, we call it The Rogues Gallery, and you can hear that same place you hear everything else, right here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
There are plenty of places to get your genre news. We get that. Which is why we go visit those places for you. And then we bring it all back here so it's all in one handy little place. Sci-Fi for Me is your one-stop shop for everything genre. Comic books, video games, TV, movies, the latest best-selling novels. Join us as we delve into the many story universes over a nice cup of coffee. We've got everything you need, all in one place. SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
And now, back to Level 117, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra!
Welcome back to Level 117, talking about the episode A Wanted In You Man. Here, I'm Dan Handley. Joining me here, Tim Harvey.
I'm fascinated by Maya's ability to stab herself in the eye with her own glasses.
Chris Pryor.
I'm here too.
Maya AIDS.
I'm okay.
Are you sure?
And Mr. Coffee, Curtis Smith.
Hi.
So, we're having a great time here.
I broke myself with my own glasses.
I look over there and I'm like, what is she? Oh, God.
Well, so far we have not talked about Lincoln yet.
Oh, yeah. Poor Lincoln.
Mr. Shockey, Mr. Electric.
Well,
Sparky.
Spark plug,
yeah. He's the one who the gang who can't shoot straight was chasing.
Actually, we kind of have talked about him, just not by name. The alien threat that there's the
titular inhuman.
We've talked about him in a roundabout way.
Yeah,
we did have unfortunately the perpetuation of the. Oh no, the heart has stopped. Let's shock it back into working again. For the folks at home, that doesn't actually ever work, and nobody does that. The paddles that they use to zap people with, that's to stabilize a heartbeat, not to bring one, not to give one back. You can't do that. It's like not actually a thing.
Details. It's Hollywood.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but it's just like it's the Hollywood thing where it's like
let's not get my OCD involved. But I do. I absolutely love the like the power line bit that he did.
Ooh, that was pretty.
It was like the denouement at a Poison concert.
But it was the first of the two times tonight where it's like they had an opportunity to shoot the guy, and they sat there and went, wait for him.
I think I know
to...
where these guys got their training.
Wait, on that Stormtrooper school.
Stormtroopers, that's where it's exactly it.
Well,
these guys didn't even pass Stormtrooper class. They couldn't find the trigger.
Well,
the Stormtroopers at least tried shooting.
Actually, here's the thing. Stormtroopers waste money by wasting bullets.
Ah.
These guys save money, so they're more economical.
Yeah, but
the results are the same, but it's cost less.
That's not real bullet. That's not bullets they're shooting the Stormtroopers.
Well, but energy isn't free.
It is,
too. Those are plasma. Come on.
Plasma charges in the
rifle. Cold fusion.
Once they made cold fusion pocket size, then.
Well, it's...
Right.
Anyway, they can't shoot anything, and poor Hunter is...
I don't understand why cascades of tiny sparks is terrifying to these people.
It's
like, oh, no, it's just, oh, man, should we run through it? Nah.
No.
It's bright and shiny. It might singe my hair.
Here's the thing.
Our union rules strictly forbid this kind of thing.
They're strictly folk music. They're not into the rock and roll.
There you go. That's the reason.
We don't do electric.
They're scared of the rock and roll.
He just said, I hate Poison, and turned around.
Unfortunately, he didn't give that line.
But Lincoln himself, though, keeps getting away.
Yeah.
It's like, how did he... I'm trying to think of how he managed to... He just went into another apartment.
I guess. I don't understand how he made it out of there, or maybe they were bluffing about the snipers on the outside of the building. Because how did he make it out if there were those snipers out there?
Well, why weren't they pinned on him?
He was,
why weren't they focused on him?
He was turned over at the end, but the thing is when he was
no,
hiding.
No, he wasn't. He got away.
He was hiding in the building.
Yeah, but I mean...
Into a different apartment.
But when Daisy got there and Matt got there, he... remember the guys who can't have inoperable guns get there and...
Yeah, why would they break in if the snipers weren't already in position?
No, but my question is, how does...
He shocked the floor and ran off, is what happened. And
that
so
wouldn't
the question,
affect the snipers I'm just
filling in. That's what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. He shocks the floor, runs away.
And they should have already been set up.
Okay, all right.
They say that there were snipers. Okay. Maybe their guns don't work either.
Okay, look,
poor guys.
Look, they read the script. Okay, they know what their motivation is,
and it's not to actually bring him in.
So you got to drag this out so that Coulson has a reason to
make googly eyes at the car.
Exactly.
How many snipers did they say they had?
Three.
Well, none of them had a clean shot. They were saving bullets.
Well, but we've all seen... It would have been
nice to have a cutaway of, you know...
He got away.
We got three snipers, and then these other guys going, what?
Yeah, it's...
Wait a minute. Sniper? I forgot my rifle. I didn't know I was supposed to do this.
Right. Yeah, I'm not ready for today. I sorry. I was off duty, and...
Well, and it's kind of
and
a shame
I spilled my coffee.
Pumpkin latte.
I think what's kind of unfortunate about this is that it doesn't exactly set up this organization. And we kind of got a lot of this tonight. It's like, you know, this is supposed to be like the government organization that's going to, you know, step into the vacuum that S.H.I.E.L.D. created. And we established that she's got it's led by a lady who is smart and cunning and knows what she's doing to a degree.
And wants to make numbers.
And yet we spend a good chunk of this episode going, yeah, you guys aren't that good at this.
Well,
so.
you got to keep in mind, she kept saying that they needed to basically prove themselves. You know, that, and so it's a brand new thing.
That's why she's so desperate to bring in and prove that they can do this.
Well, so she can actually get funding for a decent organization.
Maybe next
so
time
far,
you
all
wanna,
they've gotten is dead bodies.
Maybe the next time you want to prove yourself, don't make public announcements about aliens among us. Because you're making your job harder.
Yeah.
It's like, well, maybe they just don't have a very good organization because they're underfunded and they need this recovery to win over some politicians. Well, it's I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt.
It's always about funding.
It is.
They don't do this, they won't get their funding.
It's a little. Down. It's a kind of a hand to the writer. Thing.
They won't be able to afford such a long moniker.
It
is.
It feels like they're. It's happening for narrative reasons. It's happening because it has to happen. So
wave the hand, make it happen.
Yeah.
Let's see. Nope. That's happening.
Don't wave your hand. You saw what happened last time. There was coffee spilled and
I wasn't me.
And you poked yourself in the eye and
And I have not injured myself yet.
Yeah, you're at the opposite end of the table.
The podcast isn't over, but there's always a chance.
You try putting on your headphones and your glasses with one hand at the same time.
Yeah, well, you should have used the other hand.
All right.
No, it was holding the microphone.
Maybe you shouldn't have used your own hand. You should ask for the hand of the writer.
But we digress.
Okay, never mind. Okay, back. Yeah. Back to the show.
So. We've never digressed on one of these before, ever.
Yeah, it's never. Okay.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's we've got tension among our own team because we've got Coulson and Daisy who are Daisy.
No,
it doesn't work. I know.
Butting heads right now.
Yeah,
to an extent.
Well, actually, not as bad as they have sometimes. Sometimes
right.
They're actually. She's just frustrated because she wants to be moving forward with her own team, and that's not happening at the pace that she wanted, and and all of that. So,
2 years ago, she was a hacker in a van. What is she complaining about? She's completely saving the world every day.
Now she's a girl who can make earthquakes with her hands. So,
and of course, the new organization has recognized her and has pictures of her.
So yeah, that seemed like a really lame thing to blackmail Coulson with.
Well, and that's why I kind of
a weak scene.
I just kind of thought that was the I was expecting the rug to be pulled out from underneath there.
I thought the picture that they had was going to be of Lash. I thought that's what he wanted was to see an image of Lash and try to get more information.
Yeah. That was kind of my initial thought as well.
And then it's Daisy. I mean, I don't know. I was kind of let down.
Well, it to an extent kind of shows. Not only the level of respect, but how important she is to Coulson when they're able to use that as leverage.
Well,
so
she's always that extent. He's always had a very soft spot for her, I guess is what I'll call
it. It's probably the closest thing he's going to have to a daughter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's probably, I mean, her father wasn't really a father, so
he is to a degree.
He's a father figure. Yeah. Bobby looks like she's getting close to being rehabbed. I think she's. You can tell she's itching to be back on the team, and
unless they let her out and have some negative consequences from that.
I still wonder if her fingernails are growing out weird.
I don't want to think about that.
You're talking about gore.
Oh, that
earlier.
Was gross. Yeah. That one made me curl.
You had to bring that up.
See, I really think what's going to happen is that Hunter's going to get captured, and it's going to be him being tortured, and she's going to come to the rescue, and that's going to be the impetus to them spinning off their own shows. If they both end up with this trauma from that, and maybe Ward dies this season. Because the two of them could
gang up on him.
Unless that's the plot of their own spinoff show, as they're hunting Ward and Hydra.
Well, yeah, could do that too.
Hydra will still be around, Ward or no Ward.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
We have the Strucker kid. So
yeah, he's creepy as all get out.
Well, it's
like father, like son.
Like father, like son, and not to mention the. There's a grand history of the Strucker family showing up as villains in the Marvel Universe, so I'm hoping that it would be kind of neat to see him turn into Citizen V.
Did his whole eyes look black to you? Like, he had a little bit of white, but like there wasn't any color or anything. His eyes looked weird. The end of last episode.
I think he's just got beady little eyes.
He just looked like himself to me.
I don't trust him.
I don't.
Oh, I think that, you know,
pasty white rich kid whose dad is an evil villain. What's not to trust?
Anybody you can smash somebody else's head like that?
I have to say that I
couldn't believe that guy came back.
Watching that episode, you know, I wasn't able to be here with you guys last week, so I watched that episode on my own. I was like, oh, I kind of like the fact that they played that up with the, you know, the spoiled little rich kid turns out to be the crazy kid, of course. And then once they named, you know, said his name was Strucker, I was like,
makes sense now.
Yeah, so I think it'll be interesting to see how much we either keep him or they groom him into the next big bad. After, because I mean, Ward won't stay the head of Hydra.
Well, we assume not. Does anybody stay the head of Hydra for very long?
No, I mean, that's my
it's
point.
It's not a permanent position. Yeah. I don't believe.
Well, it's you once you're the head of Hydra, you never do anything else.
True. It's your last position.
You will never want to have another job after this.
You will never have the opportunity to have another job after that.
And they can save money because they never have to pay retirement benefits.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I mean, your severance package is...
Severance.
Maybe they help your family bury you, if there's enough left of you.
And we got you this watch.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my. Fun. Or they just put him into a little fight club with a...
Yeah, exactly. What are we leaving out? I mean, it's...
I don't really think there were a whole lot of subplots in this. I think those primary three.
Yep.
They just built on those.
Mm-hmm. Anybody want to speculate what was going on with Gemma in the restaurant scene when she broke down and the wine... It was right when the wine was being poured and there was some... That, like, either triggered memory
or something?
There
were a lot of things that triggered memories, and I think that maybe just come to a head at that point.
I really, you know, color me the devil's advocate, but I really think the directing was off on this one. I think I really don't think this was super tight, especially that scene. It was, I understand that they had to set up some device in order to get Gemma to a point where she could break down. And the sweetness of the gesture could have been the impetus for that,
to trigger
something.
Just enough to, but, like, relax her enough to get there.
Yeah, but Fitz is like, oh, no big deal, don't make a big deal about it. Kind of robs the scene of the importance of that, because, you know, I'm like, okay, no big deal then. And then I was confused as to why that. I was like... Can she hear glass? Is that the deal? The frequencies in the glass?
That's what I wondered, too. I was like, because she was looking at the wine glass.
Same reaction she had with the beaker, with the water.
And yet we didn't get that shot we've been getting of her sensory reactions, or basically sort of getting a sense of what she's seeing and what she's hearing. So.
Yeah.
So we didn't get the feedback about what it was that... triggered her breakdown.
Not showing us flashbacks either to help us out.
But that would be too much of a giveaway.
What if it's because she didn't notice it, and that was
losing her connection.
That's why she said, "I need to go back." What if somehow it's the fact that she didn't react to whatever, you know,
liquid being poured in glass
or something? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we don't have enough information about what was going on.
No, we don't. That's why I wanted you guys to speculate about it, because
or how she even managed to survive.
Howard the Duck.
It seemed pretty.
I think it was. I think it was just a necessary moment that they manufactured badly. That's my opinion.
I'm sorry, Howard's not coming back. She survived on duck pate.
Oh man.
So it's guilt. It's guilt.
Exactly. Survivor's guilt.
She killed a talking duck, and she feels bad.
Survivor's guilt.
I mean, you know. Just think how much money you could make with a talking duck.
It's kind of like the dancing frog.
Hello, my honey.
Oh, my God, that's scary. You and I went to the same place. Yikes! Time to run.
Except that Michigan J. Frog wouldn't perform in front of a bunch of other people. Howard the Duck, on the other hand, is like...
Well, not anymore. Now that she's eating him.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
I mean, you know.
That's true.
It's hard to get him to perform when you've consumed him.
Yeah. Well, a girl's got to eat.
Yes.
Well, she
trapped on an alien planet, you got to make choices.
And it was either the duck or the rabbit.
And it wasn't rabbit season.
Exactly. It was duck season.
Dear. Help! Help! Come on, we need a lifeline.
Okay, but
back to the.
Well, I think that's kind of the problem. Is that really there wasn't a whole lot that actually for a lot of things that happened, not a whole lot happened.
Welcome to comic book land.
Yeah. I mean, we got Gemma reacting and the connection, you know, the building that reconnection with Fitz and the sweetness and all that stuff there. We've got
PTSD.
They're gonna knock boots soon.
We got a lot more of tonight, as opposed to story being moved along and so forth, was a lot more character development. Yeah.
A lot more character moments.
Yeah.
Character
exposition.
Connections. You got those kind of things there.
Which is fine.
A lot of action or story moving forward.
I'm fine with that. I actually like the fact that, you know, we get a chance to develop our characters here a little bit. And we've kind of been waiting for a while for there to be anything aside from the, I can't say anything to her because then she'd be all upset thing from between the two of them. And, you know, now that their situations have been reversed from last season where she's the one who's
needing help.
Yeah. So.
Bobby Gate laid down some really sweet advice, though.
That was Don't die out there?
No. About, you know, give her something to look forward to, you know? It's a nice thing to do.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And probably, maybe we'll find out if that's more beneficial than trying to connect her to her past.
Mm-hmm. Well,
which apparently is what he was trying to do.
Yeah, and she's super connected now. Got to go back for something. I don't know. She left her curling iron on. I just need to check real quick.
I'm telling you, the guy that was sacrificed at the beginning of the show, the top of the show. No, that was last week.
Yeah.
Never mind. Sorry, I'm getting my episodes mixed up. I watched both of them today, so I'm having a hard time keeping them separate.
It all blurs.
Yeah, it kind of does. Anyway, I think she wants to go back to save him. I really think she saw other people there that have been portaled, taken.
I bet that's
swallowed.
A thing. That's a thing.
And I think that's what it's about.
That's the horse I'm putting my dough on. That one right there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the question is it?
I don't know how they'd survive that long. I mean,
well,
she did. She was for a few months. And if she can survive a few months, I don't see why people can't survive a little longer.
Tune in next
week. You mean
week
a couple of centuries?
Well, yeah.
Well, how does time pass there?
Right. That's a thing.
Well, and you know, she survived off something.
Yeah.
You know, she ate. All we've seen so far has been this sort of deserty, wind-blown, rocky kind of environment. I mean, she ate something, right? I mean,
In theory. Mm-hmm.
So
besides dust.
Yeah.
Next week, it'll be the episode, I'll bet, it's called Reva Gemma-lations. Parentheses, you know.
Parentheses.
God, I hope you're wrong.
Yeah, I did too.
It's not.
Oh, good.
And thankfully, it's not.
Will we try to do the math on that for the first 5 minutes of the
show? I'm not good at math. Let's not do that. It'll be a really long podcast. And I've only got so many fingers and toes.
Yeah. So, all right. Favorite moment tonight? Was there a favorite moment for anybody tonight?
Well, the Poison concert was my favorite. Yeah. Moment. Yeah.
Oh boy!
It's like talk dirty to me, and then everything just happens. It's so great.
See, I would have shot. I would have shot. I would have taken the shot and shot Poison. I mean, because I'm old enough when Poison was new.
So you're not a fan. I take it.
I'm offended by the fact that they are considered classic rock. So, who else?
Oh, favorite moment.
I still like the moment with the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Saying,
what's her name? She doesn't have a name. It's a he.
I
that was pretty good.
I kind of like the, you know,
eyes up here.
Eyes up here, yes.
I was hoping he'd say, I've made my choice.
Why did you meet out here? So I could steal your car. Are you kidding?
Lola needs a friend.
I want to start a family.
I want to see the montage of those two driving next to each other.
That'll be
everything is good, and we're driving along.
Oh, no, at some point, he will look at her and go, but can yours fly?
My favorite moment is probably when May won her fight. Except she did say the wrong line. She really should have said, well, that was fun.
Yes.
But it was still satisfactory to see her back in the saddle again. I'm not quite sure if that's appropriate.
Kick some butts.
Yeah. Yeah, because you got the feeling that was itching. She had some...
She'd been out of action for too long.
She needed to get some kinks worked out.
Yeah, she needed that. I think that was pretty cool.
I guess she didn't leave her husband, too. We should mention that.
And he lost money.
Yeah. If he makes it through this.
Chris?
I don't know. Any moment where Bobby's on screen? That's good for me, man.
Amen.
That's a good scene in my book.
Okay, now we know that she's in recovery here. She's getting better, but has it just seemed weird every time she's been... She seems out of place in the science role.
Yeah.
I mean, because
I didn't know that she had a science role before.
And maybe it's because we're so used to her being the field agent.
Well, she
was. Seeing her in the lab, basically just doing the tech job, seems. And I realize in story wise she's recovering, right? So it makes sense. But it just seems really weird. She seems out of place there.
But when we first saw her on the series, she was undercover with Hydra as. In the researcher,
yeah,
but not, but she was security.
She was security, yeah.
Oh, on security.
So
yeah, okay. She wasn't working as a scientist there.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I just got so used to having her involved in the action scenes to have her be basically involved in the action scenes.
It like a portion of her therapy. She's got to do delicate work with those weird fingernails.
You can't let that go, can you?
No, it's in my brain, man.
Well, you are a horror fan, so
it's one of those earworms.
That was like the worst thing I've ever seen. They showed it. It was so horrifying.
Coming from a horror freak.
Yeah.
There we go.
I'm really more into British murder mysteries.
Oh, okay.
You're Miss Marple fan?
Say what? Yeah. Wait.
Tim.
He's joking, right?
Why would you think he'd be joking? Those are really well written.
Yeah, that's not the thing. That's just not what...
Tim, did you say your favorite moment?
Yeah, Tim, your favorite moment.
Everything with Fitz and Gemma.
Mm.
Honestly, I'm really enjoying the reversal here because, we've always enjoyed the chemistry between the two characters since the show.
Yes.
I mean, that was always one of the strengths of the show is their banter and their wit together. And so as much as I enjoyed the Coulson and Carr bits and the banter between the two of them, it's seeing our two damaged nerd characters who are kind of a good chunk of, it's kind of like... I've been those characters at various points. Aside from them being trapped on an alien planet, as far as we know.
I've been trapped on an alien planet. Wasn't much to speak of.
Yeah. So I don't know. I've always enjoyed those characters, and so everything with that. I mean, because the two actors play so well off each other,
especially with when she was basically his crutch.
Yeah.
Last season,
yeah,
and now he's got a crutch this season.
I don't think less crutch. It's just the other one is holding you up. I mean,
you're
trying not to lean on them, but they're holding you up.
Right.
So,
yeah, I agree.
Now, Mr. Hunt has been very, very quiet over there because he's working
He doesn't have
technology.
A microphone.
Well, I know, but he can still tell us what his favorite moment was, and we can bring that message to.
We'll
the
translate
from a distance.
No, he's not.
He has no favorite moments.
You know, you're talking about Fritz and Simmons being Fitzsimmons being our damaged couple, but so are Bobby and Hunter.
Yeah, but they just really don't grab.
But they're The funny thing about them is that neither one of them will acknowledge.
Oh no!
The damage.
On the contrary, really. They're both keenly aware of the damage. They are aware that they're broken. They are aware that their relationship is a mess.
That's kind of what brought them together to begin with.
I'm not talking about their relationship necessarily being broken, but the fact that she took the bullet for him, mm-hmm. and now she's having to recover, and his guilt. Because she did that, and her anger at him for being stupid enough to walk into the trap, and but they're not real good at
their damage isn't bringing them any closer together. It doesn't seem
that's what brought them together in the first place was they were damaged. You know,
I don't know.
I see the two of them as completely understanding the other person and completely understanding what is they are aware that when they push themselves apart, it's not, they're both too dumb to stop it, but they're both aware that they're doing it. I think they are very, very aware of the nature of their relationship, and they are not, they have no illusions about how bad they are for each other and how good they are for each other.
Especially when he told May, she mentioned about him lying, he said, she knows I lied, so technically it's not a lie.
Yeah.
That's a lie agreed upon.
Exactly.
Mutually assured deceptions.
Dishonesty.
Yep. So, it's interesting to see where they're going with this, because I want to know more about the alien planet. I want to see how long Hunter is going to survive before Ward shoots him in the face.
Ward will talk him to death.
He will just talk.
If May gets to Ward before Ward gets to Hunter,
if they give me an entire episode of May and Ward fighting,
ooh,
that will be like Christmas.
Guess what? That will probably be Christmas.
That's sad but true. All right, so I think we've kind of digressed enough to
wrap us all up.
So,
was there a coming next week? Did they do that this time around? I didn't.
Lash is going to be back next week.
Oh, yeah.
He's been absent the past two episodes. So
and his heavy metal
back.
Hair.
Oh yeah. Well, always flowing in the wind, regardless of whether there's wind. It just flows.
Oh man.
Well, and considering that he's been leaving the trail of bodies that the government has been following.
And the preview showed us some more bodies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big old holes stuck in him.
Apparently he's just not very friendly.
No.
There seems to be some
anger
issues.
He's kind of a prickly character.
He just needs a hug.
With the prickly thing, didn't you? The Porky Pine reference. I think that's our cue. folks, if you would like to join the conversation, you can do it through all of our various social medias. You can call us on the Sci-Fi for Me hotline, which is 573-42-SCI-FI. That's SCIFI. You can email us at level1127@scififorme.com, and that's all spelled out. So 11 is ELEVN. You can find us on the Facebook and the Twitter, on the Instagram, the YouTube, Pinterest, Tumblr, Google+, and we would love to have your comments. We would love to hear what you think. We would love to hear your thoughts on, you know, we haven't talked about Deadpools. And not the movie, but the Deadpools for who's going to die this season.
Yeah.
We can talk about that next week.
Right, but now the money would be on Hunter, I think.
Yeah. It's going to be Ward. We hope that you've enjoyed listening to us. We certainly enjoy talking about it. And we will see you next week on Level 1127. Ladies and gentlemen, Curtis?
Something to say goodbye then.
Yeah. good night.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear.
What?
Dan.
Good night, people.
Good night.
Hey, Chris.
Chris.
Good night.
All right. Mr. Hunt is over there waving goodbye. And I am Timothy Harvey. Good night, folks. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.